You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN, and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500.
Howdy ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 341 is going out to one of our good friends in the SGPN Discord. Get in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Ryan H., who hit a massive parlay last night. I can't remember. I think it was plus 4,000 range. We'll talk to my co-host about that. He hit a pretty good plus money play last night as well. So thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of the hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. I did not hit anything big last night. I came out 6-6, which is not good. Not good at all, but it's better than what I've been doing the past couple weeks. So hopefully we're moving in the right direction. The man I'm about to introduce, he had himself a night. He went 8-4. He hit a couple of dogs, one of them quite a big dog. He hit a big plus 600. That's what it was, the plus 600 prop bet. He's probably feeling himself right now. It's the one and only Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
I am feeling myself a little bit. That was that was a good night. And also, it also just felt good to have a fighter in the main event who I wanted to win. Like, there's not too many times apart from, you know, like picking somebody to win that I like really want somebody to win. You know, like I was rooting for Israel Adesanya. I'm a big Izzy fan. But like most of the time, like, you know, I'm just rooting for whoever I picked that week or, you know, like I have, you know, pretty little rooting interest. But I really wanted Aljamain Sterling to win that fight. I know some people don't like Aljamain Sterling, but Henry Cejudo kind of left two divisions that I love high and dry and with like nothing going on in them, which I really hate. And he was just basically threatening to do that again. And I'm really glad he didn't get the chance to.
Yeah, why does no one like Aljamain Sterling?
I mean, it's kind of wild, right? Because like nobody seems to like him because he won by disqualification one time.
Yes, exactly. But that's like what started it all, basically, right?
He didn't ask to be kneed in the head. I mean, I guess he stayed down there. And I get look if you want to say he laid it on thick, that's fine too. But like also, he got illegally kneed in the head. He's always gotten more. A little bit more leeway in my book than he does for most people. But then again, I also have like interviewed the guy and am a big fan of him from like the times, you know, like when I was first starting my podcast where he gave me the time of day. So like he's always going to have a soft spot for, or Gubby's always going to have a soft spot for Aljamain Sterling.
Oh, third person. He's talking in now.
Nice. I'm really feeling myself, you know,
you are for sure. You moved to third person. Yeah. We like Aljo. We remember Aljo when he first started out in the UFC, this kid. So
it was actually the first article I wrote for Fight Magazine was about Aljamain Sterling.
Really?
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, me and Jeff used to do some writing for Fight Magazine where we would write about a couple of fighters who were going to be on the prelims over the next month. And my very first pick on the prelims was Aljamain Sterling. Keep an eye out for him.
Wow. I wonder if I had anyone good. Probably not.
Yours was Joe Ellenberger.
Oh, God. That didn't go very well, did it?
Yeah. Yeah. My first two were Aljamain Sterling and Alexi Olenek, and you had Joe Ellenberger.
Oh, boy. You see, Gumby, it wasn't just last night where Gumby beat me. He beat me years and years ago, too, as well. So, all right, let's dive into UFC 288 after I dive into this read about Shady Rays and Shady May. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, that's half price, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customized snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Last out of all, Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Go to ShadyRays.com, use code SGPN for 50% off, like I said, half price, two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest. There was some money to be won last night. I didn't win much of it, but Gumby sure did. So we're talking about UFC 288. Went down to the Prudential Center last night. Just to prove UFC is still, the name UFC is still a draw, regardless of what kind of card they put on. They had 17,500 people there last night and over $5 million in gate, despite this really not being a star-studded fight card, based on what we usually get on UFC pay-per-views. Main event, Aljamain Sterling once again defended his title successfully against Henry Cejudo. A split decision, 47-48, 48-47, 48-47. I guess I can see the split decision. I didn't score that way. I probably had it 49-46. No, actually 48-47 probably is the right call. Cejudo definitely had round five, even though one of the judges didn't give him round five, which is probably the worst scorecard of the night. You probably can make a case for Cejudo round three, I believe, was when I was thinking probably Cejudo won, but that's not a guarantee either. So 49-46, 48-47 Sterling, I believe is the correct call.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I think 48-47 probably seemed the right thing. It is upsetting that while they got it right, they also didn't get it right. Right, like that never feels good. You know, and I hate just like this is annoying, but we always talk about the judges beforehand and are not giving the credit to the fighters, which is definitely the more exciting part. But it is such like a huge blight on the sport right now that like, even when they got it right, they got it wrong. Because I think he won 1, 2, and 4. I think he won those pretty comfortably. I think you could probably make an argument for him in round four. He definitely didn't win round five. Five was the clearest to Cejudo. He kind of took that round off. So I'm glad he won. I'm glad all that happened. I also will just say, like, dude, his wrestling looked phenomenal, right? Like, he's always been known as, like, a great grappler. You know, he backpacks you and he's super good at doing that. And, you know, he's got the jiu-jitsu off his back or on top and he's got the arm triangles. And he one time hit that arm triangle from the bottom and the kickstand and all of those things. But like, he's never really put on a wrestling display like he did here. And he really took it to Cejudo in that way.
I didn't like him when he was spamming takedowns. What was it? Was that round four he was trying to?
I mean, just like anytime, it was literally anytime he shot a takedown in the middle of the cage. Like,
it's clear
up against the cage, Henry Cejudo had nothing for him because he's stronger, he's bigger, and he was doing things technically correct, too. But, like, he just kept shooting him from the middle and coming up so short and then doing that weird, I'm a downed opponent, head waving thing that he does. I didn't love that, but, like, I mean, I hated more that he just kept taking bad shots. So, weird.
It was
weird
strange because, that's usually what you see from a desperate fighter, a fighter that's hurt, or a fighter that's tired, and he was neither of those things.
Yeah, he was winning the striking battle.
Yeah, he was winning the striking battle. He wasn't hurt. He wasn't tired, seemingly, so I don't know why he was so desperate to take it to the ground. That annoyed me. Other than that, you can't really pick any holes in this performance. Hopefully he starts getting respect that I think he deserves because he's a very good fighter, exciting fighter, always brings the action too. He's not like the fifth round was kind of a pain in the butt too, the way he acted. We took his foot off the gas, but like I said, you can't really pick too many holes in his performance last night.
No. Can I ask you a question? Because I'm genuinely curious about how other people feel about this. Is Henry Cejudo said before this fight that if he won this fight, he would be on the Mount Rushmore of MMA, which first of all is just, it's just false. I can think of 10 that I'd probably put on there before that, but now that he's lost this fight and even he would admit he doesn't belong in the Mount Rushmore of MMA anymore, how do you think he will be remembered in history if this was his last fight? Because don't get me wrong, he does have that win over Demetrius Johnson, the split decision over Demetrius Johnson, and that's a huge win. But then, like, his three other title wins are a badly dehydrated TJ Dillashaw, 450-year-old Dominic Cruz, and Marlon Moraes at the beginning of his please knock me out phase. Like, it's like a really, really lackluster run. When you think about it, and especially in retrospect, I mean, I guess the names of a couple of them are good, but like altogether, it's kind of lackluster. Do you think people remember him as being like a dominant champion and just kind of forget everything about it? Or do you think people will kind of lump him in the bottom rung of champions?
Yeah, I don't think his personality is going to gain him any favors either in this, even though, you know, it should be that should be totally separate from the discussion. But
they were chanting his name at that fight.
Yeah, because everyone hates Aljo for some reason. Apparently he's the fake cringy guy. We talked about his weak strength schedule heading into this. Like, he hasn't fought anyone as good as Sterling since Demetrius. That was what, 5 years ago or whatever. So history, it's already not looking too fondly on that run of fights that you just spoke about. And I don't see, maybe that'll improve with time. People will forget that Cruz was already over the hill at that point and Dillashaw was depleted. But yeah, personally, I don't, obviously it's an amazing feat to be a champ in two divisions, but when you actually dive right into the resume, you can name many more fighters, even lighter weight fighters that have had better careers than him.
Yeah, I agree. I will also say this isn't to disparage how good he is of a fighter. No. Because obviously that fight with Aljamain Sterling showed just how good he is, right? Like, he took 3 years off and damn near took a decision off of Aljamain Sterling. He's incredible. But I just mean, like, you know, in order to be considered one of the best champs of all time, I mean, like, that resume just does nothing for me. So I guess we'll see how it ages. Also, before we move on from this fight, we do have to just mention Merab Dvalishvili stealing Sean O'Malley's jacket.
Yes.
Because he's the MVP of the night. He's my favorite character of this whole show. Merab Dvalishvili wearing that jacket and then jumping up on the cage and almost starting a post-fight brawl. What a feat.
What a feat. And Sterling's going to destroy O'Malley, correct?
I think so. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be close. No. I saw he posted the start at -200. So,
yeah.
I
don't know. It might hold off on that, right? Because
I would.
O'Malley's got a bit of a name on him.
Yeah. The money's going to come in on O'Malley.
Yeah.
100%.
All right, everyone, hold off. Hold off on that. I hope Cejudo sticks around. Like, he looked perfectly more than fine last night. I would like to see him have him fight Dvalishvili, have him fight. I think Bloody Elbow said have him fight Davison Figueiredo. Have him, you know, have him fight some guys.
Brandon Moreno said he'd love to come up for a super fight without even the title on the line.
A Mexican super fight, sure.
Yeah, that'd rule. Like, if they could do that in Mexico City, I'm in.
Exactly. Dan's going to go to Mexico City. You hear that? We'll broadcast live from Mexico City. You said you're in. So, on the gambling side of things, we had Sterling at -105, which turned out to be a bad line because by the time fight rolled around, he was an underdog.
Yeah, I love it. I'm counting it as a dog win.
Sure. But we had him -105, like I said. Didn't do so good in the co-main event. I wrote and said that I really didn't see a path to victory for Bilal Muhammad, but I did see the path to victory that happened last night. That was, if he was going to win, it was going to be that way. Kind of boring decision. Victory is how I didn't know Gilbert Burns was going to get hurt, which kind of, you know, cast a big shadow over the whole proceedings. But Muhammad did what he had to do. Would have been nice to see him, you know, put his foot in the gas and try to finish someone for a change. But he got Burns out of there 50-45, 49-46, 49-46. Apparently he's getting the next title shot, but Colby Covington's already getting the next title shot, and then there's a whole bunch.
He's
of
getting the next title.
Next, but then there's a whole bunch of people that could very easily cut in line ahead of him. Khamzat, if he could move to welterweight, that other Shavkat.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I think, you know, Shavkat's probably a fight or two away. I don't think Khamzat's coming back to welterweight. I think he's actually pretty safe. I think he's getting this title shot come November, December kind of time. He's going to be waiting, but yeah, like I expect Bilal Muhammad fighting for the belt soon.
Yep. not much to say about the fight last night, right?
It was exactly what you said. He pitter-pattered his way to a victory over an injured opponent. It's not super exciting. It's unfortunate that these two had to take a 5-round fight on 3 weeks' notice to save an event. And like, this is going to be probably the last chance Gilbert Burns has to make a run to the title. So, you know, not that I'm counting him out for the rest of his life, but like, you know, the guy's 36 and now is in another setback. So yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why I count on him. He kind of doesn't come through in the huge moments. Not that this was a massive, massive moment, but kind of when the chips are down, he lost to Usman for the title. He lost to Khamzat. He lost to Bilal. Not that they're bad losses by any means, but yeah, I should have gone with my gut. I originally was going to pick Bilal, but oh well. These things happen in MMA and in gambling. So we lost on Burns, -120. Before I talk about more of our losses, mostly my losses. Gumby's got plenty of wins coming up. I'm going to tell you about a new sponsor, Talkify. Life is full of what ifs. So what if you try something new when it comes to dating? Talkify is a new way to meet other serious singles. What if they help you find what you're looking for? Talkify is the country's number one modern matchmaking service that is designed to help you achieve relationship success. Their trusted compatibility specialists hand select successful and compelling candidates so you can date consciously and productively. Here's how it works. The Talkify matchmakers meet with you to learn what you're looking for in a partner. Then they'll select and screen potential match candidates for you, doing background checks, video interviews, and asking the tough questions that are too awkward for first dates. From there, your matchmaker plans your date introductions and handles all communications for you, creating a safe and stress-free dating experience. Talkify is committed to finding your match. 80% of clients met their person within the first 12 matches. And right now, Talkify is offering our listeners 20% off when you become a client at talkify.com/SGPN. That's talkify.com/SGPN for 20% off when you become a client. Talkify.com/SGPN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This was a bummer. This one we do not see coming.
I don't think anybody, even on the other side of this bet, saw this one coming.
Did anyone in their Discord jump on this? I think someone may have. I think someone may have seen this and grabbed it at big plus money. But Yan Xiaonan knocked out Jessica Andrade. Andrade stepped into a shot and got leveled, and the ref wasn't playing around and stopped the fight pretty quick. 220 into the first round. Yeah, we didn't see. We saw a knockout happening, but not. Yan knocking out Andrade, that's for sure.
Yeah, she's never knocked out anybody in the UFC.
Exactly. Good timing.
And she's been in the UFC. And she's been in the UFC since 2017. You know, so like it's been 6 years and she hasn't knocked anybody out. So like, yeah, no, incredible punch. But also, did it just feel like Jessica Andrade was just like crazy reckless in there and almost for no reason?
Yeah, even for her, probably.
She's usually a little reckless, but like she was like chasing her. And like maybe it's just the loss of Erin Blanchfield, and she's like so desperate to get that one back, but it definitely backfired on her.
Yeah, for sure. So are we gonna have a China versus China title fight? I can't see the UFC passing on that.
I think you have to. I don't know where you do it, but I think you have to have that fight.
China.
I mean, are they going back to China anytime?
I don't know.
They did do, who was it? It was Derek Lewis and Curtis Blades out there. Curtis Blades and Francis Ngannou. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did out there. But they're, I don't think they're going back to China anytime soon. Maybe they could squeeze that on a, like, Australia or a New Zealand pay-per-view as, like, the co-main. You know, you put.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
Yeah, you can put Izzy versus Duplessis or Robert Whittaker again on the main event and then squeeze in Weili and Yan.
I was going to suggest the UFC Apex, but that's even better.
I think that's they'll probably take that somewhere on the road.
So what do we do with Andrade now? Two straight losses, got knocked out. That could be, we could be looking at trouble going forward, right?
I mean, I think you just keep giving her fun fights. I like her better at strawweight. I think she still has to figure some things out. But like, you know, just leave her down there. Let her keep fighting, you know, whoever. Like, you know, you can give her somebody like Marina Rodriguez, right? They haven't fought yet, have they?
I've never heard of her, but yeah. If it's who I think you're thinking of, that's another bummer.
You mean Marina Rodriguez?
Oh, yeah. Please, don't. Don't.
Your girl, dude. About her soon. That's your girl.
A couple fights. You beat me on that one. All right. Gumby's two fight losing streak. That was the only two fight losing streak you had last night. You had yourself a night. Malsor Avilev made a sweat. Far too much for a minus 667 bet. But he got the job done against a very game Diego Lopez. 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. Lopez had him. I don't know if he ever had him in serious, because I'm not a grappling nerd like Gumby. I don't know if he ever had him in serious trouble, but he was attacking him on the ground pretty much from the second the bell rang.
I mean, I think he had him in some pretty serious trouble there. I think there was reason to possibly give this fight to Diego Lopez.
That wasn't an unusual call on your behalf here. Yeah,
yeah.
Did you give it to him or not?
I'd have to go back and watch round three. Like, he definitely won round one. He definitely lost round two.
Lopez?
Yeah, Lopez. He definitely won one and lost two. And then, like, the submissions late were, I don't know how close they were. So I'd have to go back and, like, you know, finally pick apart and pick apart what happened before that, too. Because, but that was the decider for me. It was round three. And like, the fact that it got that deep and people had to ask that question. Pretty impressive on his part. I'm excited to see him moving forward, because that is another shoot the box guy. Him and Elvis Brenner, who both, I mean, Brenner didn't lose that fight either, but like, those are two guys who had incredible short notice debuts and are just really, really fun to watch.
Without question, Dana White's so kind. He gave Lopez his win bonus too. So he gave him an extra $12,000. Isn't that kind?
I mean, it is. It's better than the alternative. I'll say that.
And they actually got fight of the night too, I think. So yeah, it was a very profitable debut for Mr. Lopez. This was fight of the night. Mavsar Evloev, Diego Lopez, Yan Xiaonan won performance of the night. And someone in the Discord who votes on the UFC rankings panel says he's going to drop Evloev down after that.
I got to go look and see where I have him already, because I don't remember off the top of my head where I already had him. Maybe I'll pull it up right now while we're talking. But like, did that fight make you think like, oh yeah, he deserves to go up in the rankings?
No.
I mean, I said this in the Discord too. I said originally I thought he blew Bryce Mitchell out of the water. After watching that, if they rebook that, I'll pick Bryce Mitchell. I'm not kidding.
You'd have to.
Right now I had Mavsar Evloev at number 10, which is where he actually was. And I'm not sure he belongs in front of Bryce Mitchell or Sadiq Youssef or, you know, guys like that. Like, I'm not sure he belongs in front of dudes like that. So, yeah, maybe I'm going to have to think about it, but maybe he just drops here.
Oh, take that. All right. So we hit that one. Hooray for us. And then I hit the opener, Gumby. This was Gumby's worst take of the evening. Bad take, Gumby's. Charles Jourdain totally schooled Kron Grayson. 30-27 doesn't even begin to say what we saw there. Scooting on your butt does not play in 2023 MMA, and that's what Kron Grayson looks like he was the guy doing Vision Quest in a cave instead of Yuri Prochazka, because he looked disheveled, and boy oh boy, He had nothing in the striking realm. Tried to pull a guard. That wasn't working. He had nothing on the ground. He's doing the butt scoots. Yeah, he was getting himself booed. Not a good performance. And my Canadian came through -175.
They can't let him fight again, right?
You'd think not, but he did beat Alex Caceres, who's a ranked fighter.
Yeah, but he beat Alex Caceres in what year?
It's true.
Like,
Cejudo had fought more recently than Gracie.
Yeah, and like your goodwill only of a nice win only lasts so long. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
That's a different Alex Caceres. Like, I don't think I would pick him to beat Chase Hooper right now. Right? Like, Chase Hooper would outbox him, right? Is that a sentence I'm going to say?
I think anyone would at this point, yeah.
Chase Hooper would outbox him?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're bringing Mike Jackson back and you're doing this in between their two weights, like, I don't think there's anybody in the UFC Kron beats. And this is coming from somebody who picked Kron to win, because I assumed 3 years away would have brought some closure to some of the holes he has in his game. And if anything, it just made him bigger.
No, didn't he tell us that he worked so hard on his striking? He was going to be a totally different fighter.
I thought I heard that. He was definitely not a totally different fighter, and if he was different in any way, it was worse.
Yes.
That was worse than the Kron Gracie who lost to Cub Swanson.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I went 3-5 in the main card. Gumby went 2-3, but things are about to pick up for
the they are.
He used to be the prelim god, and here we go. Prelim time. Matt Frivola TKO'd Drew Dober with punches, 4:08 into the first round. Dober always counted on his chin to stand, hold up for him. It did not last night. So this could be starting the first fight that we're going to have to think about fading Drew Dober going forward. Gumby already did fade him though. Last night he had Matt Frivola +188. Matt Frivola via knockout +600. Gumby had both. Hope you had both in real life too.
I did. And the best part of this too, now you were bragging on the preview show that your props were profitable on the year because you had hit
some more. Oh yeah, I think
you're still on the, but that those that +600 had taken me, who had been pretty down hard on the props. And it put me profitable on the props as well.
Yep.
Turns out you hit +600 and that'll fix a lot of bad things.
Fantastic. Yeah. So Frivola got her done. And yet, like I said, we got to look up for Dober, because he's one of those guys who relies on his chin to hold up. And if it's not going to hold up, then he's not going to hold up.
Yeah. Frivola also hits like a truck. And I think he has some weird magical superpowers fighting close to home.
Possibly. I didn't think of that heading into it. I forgot about the magical powers. All right, Kennedy and Chukwu, we both had on this one. Technical submission. We didn't see a submission coming. I thought knockout, but he submitted Devin Clark after they battered each other for two. They went, 8 minutes in the fight? It was 2:28 into the second round when the fight ended. A standing submission on Devin Clark got the job done for Kennedy and Chukwu.
You know, two fights ago for Kennedy, I actually predicted him to win by submission at like +800 or something like that. It might have been +1200 or something like that. I thought he would submit Carl Roberson because Roberson was trash on the ground and his grappling had been getting better. And he wound up getting like a back mount, but then winning by elbows instead. And so like this I was pumped to see him win because I do like Kennedy. And obviously he's been through some like hard times recently. But also I was like, where was that submission when I needed it? Because he clearly got it done with his hands and then just wrapped up the submission as the easiest way to finish it.
Yep. So that is three straight wins, three straight finishes. Look out, right?
Yeah. Keep I mean,
close to getting ranked. It's light heavyweight for crying out loud. You probably should be ranked by now.
And against Ian Kutalaba and Devin Clark, those are like not bad names. Like that. Those are probably as good as names get that are for unranked light heavyweights.
So we haven't fired anyone yet. Devin Clark, are we firing Devin Clark? Oh, I guess he won his fight before this. So
yeah,
I guess he can stick around.
He won his one. I mean, I fired Kron already.
That's true. He's 2-4 in his last six. That's good enough in the UFC light heavyweight divisions to stick around. All right, Chaos Williams, a split decision over Rolando Bedoya, another newcomer who. Gave the veteran more than they expected, perhaps. 27-30 was the wrong scorecard for Bedoya. Okay. Then 29-28, 29-28 for Chaos Williams. We had Williams at minus 300. A lot of people had him in parlays in the Discord, so they were lucky that one came through.
Sweating. Yes. Yeah, and I think the scorecards were right. I think Williams won rounds one and two, and Bedoya clearly won three. I think the only people who scored it for Bedoya here were ones who were just, like, excited he was in it. After thinking he was clearly not going to be competitive, because not only is he relatively unknown, but some people in the Discord had some problems with his physique, and were making fun of him because of that. But like, hey man, he looked pretty sharp out there. He's another newcomer who I'm not going to be upset when I see him again.
Maybe official MMA judges shouldn't be excited that someone's in a fight that they shouldn't be in and give him all three rounds when
that's just, yeah, that's egregious.
Yep. Even when they get it right, like Dan said earlier, even when they get it right, they don't get it right usually. And then the opener of the prelims, this was a bummer. We got ourselves another fade candidate going forward. Was it no, a actually, I kind of like Verena Janeiro, but she's cool. Cool hair, cool fighting style. She took care of Marina Rodriguez, unanimous decision, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. No problem taking her down and taking care of her on the ground. Rodriguez, the fall from grace. She was so close to a title shot and all that stuff. And now I think she's going to have to be a fade going forward. This is Gumby's other dog pick, plus 123 that came through.
Yeah. And I feel pretty good about this one because I actually went back and listened to my breakdown of this and was like, she's going to take her down. She's going to take her down. And there's nothing she could do about it because Yan Xiaonan did. And if Yan Xiaonan can, Vierna definitely can. And you were a naysayer. You said no siree. she will not take her down. And I was like, all right. And then we just left it at that. And I mean, her grappling's so good. And I think people always forget how good her grappling is because a lot of her losses are to women who can stuff the grappling. It was to Mackenzie Dern and Amanda Hibas and Carla Esparza. And those are literally her only three losses. Not just in her UFC career, in her pro career. And it's three really good grapplers, and one of which has moved up in weight. So, I'm excited to see her back in there again. Give me, move her on up the rankings, because I want to see her up against some of those tougher women in that division.
That's my next question, Dan. Who do you want to see her up against now?
I mean, the Mackenzie Dern range of the rankings is like the right range, but because Mackenzie Dern is already has already fought her, probably not. Yeah. Mackenzie Dern again. See, Marina Rodriguez was five, but then again, to be fair, Yan Xiaonan was six. I don't know. Is there reason if in fact Wei Li Zhang is fighting Yan Xiaonan, which I think she probably has to, is there any reason Vierna Janeiro can't fight Amanda Lemos?
No,
I'd be fine with her fighting.
She may get knocked out. That's the only thing. But other than
or she could take her down and just beat her up down there because she does that. Sure. I guess you could also, if Rose Namajunas is going to fight again, maybe Rose Namajunas. The problem is, it's just like the top like nine is tough for her. Like number one is Carla. She's already fought her. Two, Rose is not really fighting. Three is Lemos, who I mentioned. Four is Andrade coming off that loss. Five is Rodriguez. She already beat her. Six, Yan Xiaonan, probably getting a title fight. Seven, Dern. She already fought her. Then you get to Tisha Torres at eight. But like, it feels like she kind of outkicked Tisha Torres by this point after beating Marina Rodriguez. So I think Lemos is kind of the only answer there.
All right, there you go. Get it done. Get it done. So what about Rodriguez? We've seen the end of her, right? The top, her at the top.
I don't know. She's not terribly old, is she?
Yeah, I think she is actually. Not terribly, really? But I think she's 36.
Oh, that's older than I thought. Maybe Andrade? Yeah. Have they fought before?
I don't think so.
That feels like a fight that could have happened and I could have forgot about it, but
No,
they haven't. Well, yeah,
Jessica Aguiar, but not Andrade.
Yeah, let's do that again.
All right, there we go, Matchmaker Gumby. No one got fired through that stretch there, so let's move on to early prelims. Could have seen this one coming too, but it also could have gone the way we predicted. Braxton Smith got a little pooped out after a couple minutes, and Parker Porter TKO'd him, kind of, I guess, with it says punches, but it really was exhaustion. 210 into the first round. It's not like Porter was really hurting him at all.
I think he did. I'm going to differ.
Oh, you think he did?
Yeah. If you watch the replay, the knee to the body looks like it did all the damage.
Okay.
He hit him with a knee right below the rib cage. And after that, he shot that like pathetic looking double leg attempt. And then just never tried to get back up. And like, I'm not saying, I had a lot of faith in Braxton Smith because I mean, I picked him, but like, it was mostly hey, these are two heavyweights and he knocks people out. But like, yep. And we haven't seen him go deep into a fight, but that seemed like it changed quick. You know what I mean? Like he was throwing haymakers and then was like, let me shoot the worst double leg you've ever seen. So like, I think something had to have happened. And if you go back and look, it happens right after Parker Porter throws what appears to be a pretty well-landed knee to the body. So I think while people are giving Braxton Smith a lot of hate, I think Parker Porter probably deserves a tiny bit more credit than we're giving him. And also just like, you know, he's a young guy who needs more, well, at least young for heavyweight. Braxton Smith is a young guy who needs more time and more seasoning. So I'm not ready to write him off yet. I think there are people he could be.
He shouldn't be in the UFC if he needs more seasoning and whatnot, right? He should be That might be true,
but it's heavyweight. Yep. You can learn on the job at heavyweight.
And the new slim trim Parker Porter lookout, right?
Yeah, he did look weirdly slim, huh?
Yeah, he lost some weight, apparently. So it was Parker Porter fight week in the Discord, and yet we faded him. That wasn't too smart on us or on brand. All right, middleweights, Ikram Alaskarov came through. We didn't see a knockout. This is another one. We didn't see a knockout.
I was thinking sub.
Exactly. Knocked out Phil Haas. Hopefully people weren't just relying on a prop bet to come through on this one. 210 into the first round. Yeah. If he's going to knock people out on top of what he already has in the grappling department, look out. We had him at minus 200.
Yeah. He looked great. Sure did. Couldn't be happier about how he looked.
Yep.
You know, he does seem to be rounding out his game. You know, I would have liked to seen him shoot a takedown in there since that is what he does best. But if he's out here to prove that he can just melt dudes like he just melted Phil Haas, I'm here for it. Yeah. Move him up the ladder quickly. I know he called for Bo Nickel. He's never getting that fight.
No.
They're never feeding Bo Nickel to Ikram Alaskarov at this stage in his career. If he wants to fight Bo Nickel, he can once they're like both title challengers.
Then in the opener, it was the opener because we lost Daniel Santos, Johnny Munoz Jr. Did we lose another fight since we recorded?
There was one other one that was going to come after that that got canceled. Was there not? Because you took two ducks to kick it off, or three ducks.
Yeah, Chalgas Chumagulov and beat us there. Yeah. His fight fell through because who got hurt? Rafael didn't make weight. Weight management issues. As did Ugly Man Joe, Joseph Holmes. I think he's getting fired. He came in 3 pounds overweight, and then you got TKO'd 321 into the second round by Claudio Ribeiro. Gumby risked a beating from Ugly Man Joe by picking against him and took Ribeiro minus 175 and hit. I took Holmes, and I regretted it almost immediately. Well, I regretted it once I heard he missed weight, and then once the fight started, didn't look good.
Yeah, and I don't even think they're going to have to fire him because that was the last fight on his first contract. I heard him say in an interview. Right. So I don't think they're going to renew. Probably him hitting the road. I think Kron should hit the road. What do you think about Phil Haas? Is Phil Haas getting fired?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Phil Haas. Let me see.
So let me give you the rundown. He's lost 3 out of 4 all by knockout. All of them in the first round. His only win is Deron Wynn in that time.
He can get
cut. But look at the 3 wins before that. Kyle Daukaus, Nassourdine Imavov, Jacob Melkin.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know how much. And the losses are to Chris Curtis, Roman Dolidze, and Ikram Alaskarov. So, like, did he buy himself enough goodwill? Who knows?
The wins may have put him into a salary bracket that makes him easy to cut as well. And maybe, this guy makes too much for. So yeah, possibly if you really want to fire someone else, sure. We'll consider that one, especially now that he doesn't have cool colored hair anymore. All right. Bonus awards went to, as I said, Master Avalov, Diego Lopez were fight of the night. Jan Schaunan, Matt Fravola, the steamroller, were one performance of the nights. As I said off the top, I went 6-6. I lost almost $300 if I was dumb enough to play $100 on every fight. Gumby went 8-4 and won almost $220. So hopefully everyone's smart enough to follow Gumby and bet on every one of those fights. On the year, I'm at 58%. Gumby's at 50%. You're catching up, Gumby.
Here we go.
It's like 10% lower than I would like to be. So there's still time.
There's always still time. There's always
the locks.
There's always the next week in MMA.
There is. We're going to talk about it in 1 minute. We locks, Andrade and Rodriguez, they failed us. Women's strawweight failed us there. Dogs failed us too. Gracie, Smith, both of our dogs looked very bad for us.
I could have picked any of my other dogs who won.
Yeah, exactly. All my dogs had their fights canceled except for Holmes and Smith. So yeah, I lost a lot of my dogs before the night even began. I lost Burns decision victory. It was a decision. Clearly wasn't his though. Matt Frivola knockout +600. That was the big hit of the night.
There we go.
And Gumby is in the positive. We're both in positive for our prop picks. We are in the negative. Oh, you're in the positive for your locks as well, Gumby. You're doing good.
Look at that.
Up 3% on locks. You're up 3% on props. I'm up 6% on props. And then the rest we're not going to speak of.
Well, I'm catching up on dogs. I'll get there soon.
It's true. Burns decision, Alex Karev sub. They didn't come through, Dan.
We
didn't hit our Hunger Man Jog fight. Big pick. What did I was talking? I dedicated this to Ryan, one of the good guys in the Discord. It was like +4,000 to sub, and was it not his priority that he hit?
I thought it was 1,400, but I could have been wrong.
Okay,
I
knew there was a four in it. Yeah,
it was something. It was something. Nice. Something big though.
It was a nice 3-fight parlay. So anyhow, good job to him. And Scuba got bailed out by Sterling, it sounds like, at the end. So he's going to resort to a life of crime, but Aljamain Sterling saved the day. All right, so that puts that in the books. Don't worry, we got more UFC coming up. UFC and ABC, so this, since they're on ABC in the States, network TV, this must be a big fight card, right? Let's see what's that, who's headlining. Oh, Rosenstrike, perfect.
But against the man, the myth, and the legend, exactly. My friend.
The flip side, Gelton Almeida. So we have Jarzinho Rosenstrike versus Gelton Almeida. Anthony Smith, Johnny Walker, in the co-main event. And then we got Daniel Rodriguez, Ian Garry, Mackenzie Dern, Angela Hill, Alex Moreno, Tim Means. That's the main card. Prelims, Matt Brown, Court McGee. See two men who have both died and are back again. Carl Williams versus Chase Sherman. Cody Stamann versus Douglas Silva de Andrade, Carlos Ulberg, Ihor Potiera, Nathan Levy, Pete Rodriguez, Ji Young Kim, Mandy Baum, Brian Battle, Gabe Green, or Gabriel Green, if you rather, Jessica Rose Clark is back versus Tanera Lisboa. So it gets better after we get past the Jarzino and the co-main event. It does get better, but Gelatin's there. So pretty good fight card for us nerds, right?
Yeah, of course. It's Chase Sherman fight week, man.
Oh, yeah, Chase Sherman fight week, too. And we've never had two fighters who literally had been dead before fight each other in the UFC, have we?
Was Matt Brown one of those?
Yeah, that's why he's the immortal.
I think. Is it really?
He died, too. Yeah, I think so.
I'll buy that. Okay, sure.
Yeah, they both had, or he might have, I don't know. But yeah, they both had drug-induced overdoses and near-death experiences, Court McGee and Matt Brown. But yeah, other than that, good. Put that stuff aside. Good fight card. Lots of people that we are interested in here. So haven't looked at any lines or anything yet, so I can't tell you. Have you looked at the lines for this card?
Yeah, a little tricky. I would say a little tricky.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's why we're here, right? We'll give a consensus just like last week when we were on the same page about everything.
Yeah, I don't think we were, but I'm happy about where I was on a lot of them.
Yep, you ended up on the right side. All right, so we'll be back before all this. Oh, this UFC event's going down from the Spectrum Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we're not in the apex for this one. There'll be a real live crowd for that. All right, we'll be back though tomorrow because it's Bellator Fight Week. Dan tried to get me to do Samurai Fight House, but we have to do the second biggest fight league that you can actually easily bet on. Even though he kicked and screamed, but we're going to do Bellator. And he's been doing good with your Bellator picks. So come on.
I have, but it is the biggest Samurai Fight House card of the year, which by the way, you guys can watch on YouTube. Make sure to check out Live Samurai Fight House from Argentina on YouTube this weekend.
I'm sure we can talk about it on tomorrow's episode if you like as well. So, all right, we'll be back on Monday. Until then, I told you about Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Get in and have fun with us. Twitter, SGP and MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. All our writings, everyone's writings, all our podcasts, all our giveaways, discounts, all that stuff's at our revamped website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. If you want to hear more of Gumby, Top Turtle MMA is the other podcast he hosts. And if you want to read more from me, moneymma.substack.com. Get me in your inbox pretty much every day with MMA writing, play my weekly pick 'em contest, all that fun stuff. So we'll be back tomorrow with episode 342. I bid you farewell. I am Dorino, Jeff Fox. Of course, you remember the name of my co-host, Gumby Vreeland. He'll be back too. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.